All right, good morning. Good to be together. Let me invite you as we continue on here to turn to your neighbors, and say, may joy rise up in you today like a blessing already near. May joy rise up in you today like a blessing already near. I see some little joys, and so let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. You're free, dismissed, released to go to Children's Church. For those of us still here, we again today are returning to what is the Gospel according to Isaiah. And today we're heading up chapter 35, the first 10 verses. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, 508, the words will be on the screen behind me. And so let's read, and then we'll pray, and then see what it has for us today. 35, verse 1, it says, we read, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Jerusalem with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and singing will flee away. Let's pray. God, we are thankful to you for this morning, thankful for this gathering. And as we lean into your word and your words to us this morning, God, would your spirit come. May these words not just stay on the page, but may they enter into our hearts and our minds. Change us, shape us, make us, move us. We commit this time to you. And may it as always be for your purpose and glory. And it's in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. From the poet Wendell Berry, he writes, it may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. The mind that is not baffled is not employed. The impeded stream is the one that sings. Published in 1980, these words, these opening lines, reveal a reality that most, if not all of us, know well. Meaning that ache or that angst when we feel stuck, when movement seems impossible, when the future is unclear, when the present is all too fragile. And yet it's there, as our Advent passage reminds us today. That there in the midst of whatever the uncertainty we may be experiencing, even there, something or someone is stirring. Not calling us out from, but leaning in, coming close, drawing near, meeting us right where we are. As another poet, the late Mary Oliver, puts it, sometimes I need only to stand wherever I am to be blessed. Which is kind of an interesting thought. And I would offer that for each one of us, myself included, we live, as I think Mary Oliver suggests here, we live our moments, we live those moments as though we are better off somewhere else. Somewhere other than wherever we are. That we believe that somewhere brighter, somewhere easier, certainly somewhere that's not so wilderness. It is that somewhere other than here sort of sentiment found among those back in Isaiah's day. The context here is that of a people, the people of Israel, exiled to the Babylonians. Keeping in mind, Babylon is hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, right? Covering not only a considerable distance, but also a significant sort of terrain. Right, hundreds of miles of desert and wilderness, dry, rocky, barren, difficult. Temperatures can rise above 100 degrees and drop below freezing in the same day. Water and food are scarce. It can be a scary and lonely place. Right, without help and without hope. And here, the Babylonian army under King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian army has not only destroyed the southern kingdom of Judah, they have decimated Jerusalem, the temple is in ruins. And so, as armies would in that day, they are relocating the people as a way to prevent them from an uprising. And so thousands upon thousands of people, of Israelites, are being exiled here. And it's into that reality, that wilderness, that unclear future, that present moment that is all too fragile. And Isaiah, he speaks into that, not with a warning, not with instruction, but with a promise. A promise, it seems, that is out of season, but a promise that meets us right where we are. A promise that begins not with us, actually, here, but with the land. It begins the desert, right? And the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst forth into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy, which, similar to last week, and we can think back, right? Isaiah was speaking of the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the child and the cobra, right? In a sense, right, he was evading our excuses, bypassing our defenses, calling us, right, to imagine a world of relationships other than what is. And here, in a similar language, he does the same sort of thing, not with animals, but he says the desert and the parched land and the wilderness. Right? Because in the same way, bypassing our defenses, because, right, the desert cannot argue. The wilderness does not push back. The land it simply receives. And blessing arrives. We're told water will gush forth in the wilderness. Streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. And then not only the land, but then and only then does he turn to us. And like before, he gets personal. A highway will be there, the way of holiness for those who walk on that way. To which, from the scholar Walter Brueggemann, he notes that Israel's doxologies are characteristically against the data, meaning the promise is a flipping the script of our assumptions. For those in that day, the data said, in exile, right, in Babylon, hundreds of miles away, right, across the desert, across the wilderness, but not just for then, it's also for us here and now, right? Because we each have our own sort of wilderness stories. Right, the diagnosis that you did not see coming. The grief that still crashes over you unexpectedly, catches you off guard. The relationship that has gone distant or silent. And yet even there we're told this promise, right, not calling us out from, right, but meeting us. Right there. Wherever we are. Then it says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like the deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. A promise out of season. Right? Because sometimes I need only to stand wherever I am to be blessed. We see those sorts of promises all through the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament. Here's one from Exodus chapter 3. We read, God finds Moses beyond the wilderness, right? And then guides him along the path, leading the people, Israel, out of Egypt. From 1 Kings chapter 19, this is Elijah. He's running actually a day's journey into the wilderness. He is in pain. He is suffering. He is despairing. And yet it's there that he is given a rekindled spirit. He is given a renewed sense of purpose. In Luke chapter 2, present in the wilderness of Roman-occupied Judea, we read that a baby is born. Right? Because the promise is not that we will escape the wilderness. The promise is that the wilderness will itself blossom. Right, the promise is not that we escape the wilderness and go somewhere else, but that the joy will burst forth from within. That with every tear that falls down my cheek, grieving the loss, the death of our granddaughter Ember, right, is a joy. A joy comes near of a family that is drawing close, our family drawing close. With every visit to the hospital to visit our grandson Kairos, right, there is a joy that comes near in the love that is quietly shared in that room. With every moment of just being so tired and done and feeling like I can't go on, there is the joy that comes near of the compassion of a good friend. With every moment that I tell the story to myself that I'm not enough, there is the joy that comes near in a God who says, I am His. This is the promise, a promise out of season, a promise out of season, because sometimes I need only to stand wherever I am to be blessed. And so as we bring this kind of toward the end here, I want to throw out a few questions for us just to reflect on and to think about and to consider. And then I want to invite us not just to run out of here, but to stay for a few more moments and to sit and to reflect and to consider. And then Roger, the team will come up and close us in a song. But what is the wilderness in my life right now? What is the wilderness in your life, in my life right now? Maybe it's a loss, maybe it's a conflict, maybe it's a struggle, maybe it's a worry, right? The future is uncertain, the present is all too fragile. What is the wilderness for you right now? And then with that, to consider, what blessing is there for me to receive right where I am? What blessing? Maybe it's a relationship, it's a kindness, it's a generosity, it's a hope. Right? Not in spite of, right? Not instead of, but a coming near, right? Right alongside, in the midst of. How might this promise shape the way I live each day? Right, as I step out into those wilderness moments, how might this shape the way I encounter those moments? Right, impact how I show up? And I missed a question. What joy is already present that I may have overlooked? I guess I overlooked that question. What joy is already present that I may have overlooked? What is the wilderness in my life right now? What blessing is there for me to receive right where I am? What joy is already present that I may have overlooked? How might this promise shape the way I live each day? Let's sit for a little bit together. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy.